Why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, first of all, I want to start out with an apology to everybody here. I just looked over on my computer. I got 368 unanswered emails. And I always try to pride myself on answering my emails, getting back to people. But, you know, I've been, the last couple of days, we've been putting a lot of time and effort and energy into the new property. Got the water on yesterday, believe it or not. Pump works, water circulating throughout that place. Carpet's all pulled up. We're attacking some of the bushes and stuff outside. And so I've been spending a lot of time doing that. But I looked over 368 emails. And so that becomes a burden. I'm not telling you not to email me. It just becomes a burden because I got to go, Lord, I need about 4 hours just to go through and try to answer every one of those. So my apologies if you sent an email to me and you haven't heard back from me. I plead the sixth. I don't know what the sixth is, but I plead that one. Or the seventh, whatever the seventh would be. Or whatever one I pleaded. Fifth, how about that? I'm going to incriminate myself. So apologies. A lot of crazy stuff going on, a lot of good stuff going on. And one of the problems I have when I jump in here to do the show early in the morning is which trail to go down. I've got about four different trails over here I could go down. I know what's on my heart, what I want to go down, but I got some stuff I really think that are important for us to share before we get too deep in it. Anybody have any announcement, anything special before I jump in here? Chad, got anything going on or anybody, anything out there that we need to bring attention to? Because I don't want to forget that. Let me say this. Well, I want to, Before It's News has a fascinating article. We're being streamed live on Before It's News. I want to thank Michael Roach for continuing, permitting us to do that. And I get a chance, I'm going to get down to an article that he emailed me this morning. But again, I just want to tip of the cap to Before It's News. Jared, if you can pull that up there real quick, just so people understand that of all the people that Before It's News could put on their homepage every day when you get up in the morning, I got the picture of Jared on my screen right now. Jared's going to get it up there for us. Can you pull up Before It's News for me real quick, bud? I'm sorry. Okay. Jared was asleep on the switch there. Didn't have any hair anymore. Maybe I thought he would hear better without hair, but evidently not. So I want to tip my cap to Before It's News, Michael Roach, those guys who stream us every day. Now, Before It's News, that edgy news, to say the least, edgy news, edgy stuff. And they, you know, that's the lost world. And there we are streaming live every day on their homepage. It's amazing that they would do that for us, but they do. And Michael's got some great articles, and one I'm going to try to share with you later on here regarding whether or not have we been at war with Russia? Did you know that we had a couple submarines that had a conflict? That's all Before It's News. A lot of good stuff, a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of edgy stuff. But Michael's doing all he can to try to make this a lot more Christian. So thanks to Michael Roach. Jared, all of you know about Doug Hagman. Most of you know about Joe Hagman and what happened in that situation today. And I got an email from Doug this morning specifically to me to ask me to share this with my audience. So I want everybody to know as I share this with you that I would never share anything. How am I saying this? You share something with me, I keep it in confidence. If you share something with me privately, I don't tell the world. Believe it or not, I'm not a gossip. I'm a good secret keeper. So Doug sent me this email this morning, and I had to read it twice, and then I even wrote back to him and said, "Are you sure you want me to share this?" He says, "Yeah, I want you to share it." So I want to share with you an email that I got from Doug Hagman today. Jared, maybe you can pull that up there. This is people have asked me about the Joe's arraignments. I really don't know. I don't know when the arrangements are for Joe. I really don't know. Okay, Jared's pulling it up. And I got this from Doug, and this kind of, you know, I told you guys, Doug's one of the most straightforward, bravest guys that I know. And he apologized that he couldn't come to Chappaqua this weekend. You believe that? Couldn't come to Chappaqua. I know how sorry he was. But he sent me this email that Jerry's, I'll wait for it. It's pretty staggering. I won. Again, Doug lost his son Joe to a heroin overdose. I'm going to sneeze here. Hang on. Let me sneeze. There we go. And I got this from Doug Hagman this morning. And he asked me to share it with the audience. Coach, I'm very sorry I won't be able to make the trip to Chappaqua this weekend, but I'll be there in spirit and we'll try to give something more up on my side as soon as possible. You'll be happy to know Kyle Right Wing Watch mentioned Equal Justice Tour. The other reason I'm writing is to let you know that I've been working 24/7 chasing dopers and scumbags since Sunday morning to get answers any way I can to get the truth about exactly what happened last Saturday. It's amazing what a combination of rage and anger can do, what answers can be obtained when these cowards are confronted by a very angry and armed father. Well, I'm convinced that Joe made the decision to be injected with heroin. I have evidence, which is a coroner's field report, police incident report, several telephone recordings, personal statements. Remember, Doug's a private investigator. I obtained and recorded and ancillary documentation that the young woman who injected him watched him die and did nothing to save him, to avoid being potentially charged. I'm not making this statement lightly or with the emotion of a grieving father, but as a seasoned investigator who is in search of the truth. To assure you that I'm not acting of grief, here's some evidence that he's found. There you can see it, folks. Some, I suppose it's a heroin pack. I don't even know what heroin looked like. Injected needles. I don't know if this was taken at the scene. I don't know what. But Doug's an investigator. Scrolling down. Breaks my heart. I've also consulted with a forensic pathologist and a police homicide investigator who both agree that a case can be made for negligent homicide. You heard me right. Negligent homicide. Homicide, folks. I will spare you most of the graphic details, but forensic evidence, for instance, the state of rigor mortis, postmortem lividity, suggests that Joe was dead for at least 4 hours, perhaps longer, while his fiance was napping with him. Let that sink in. There's evidence that he convulsed within 90 seconds of being injected and could have been saved with the administration of some Narcan. I'm working with the Erie police detectives to have this woman charged at some level based on the totality of evidence I personally collected and submitted. Although short of a confession, the district attorney is not inclined to file homicide or even manslaughter charges yet. We also have to get over the little issue of my methods of evidence collection and how I obtained the statements, but that's another story. I've also learned that some of what transpired during those 4 hours while Joe lay dead, the woman appears to have called two men to assist her in tampering with the scene by removing drugs and related paraphernalia. For added insult, they also stole Joe's 50-inch TV, a Christmas present to him from me and my wife, which I tracked with the assistance of a computer forensic expert. Additionally, the same woman is presenting herself as Joe's fiance, despite the fact that Joe is married. And worse, she hacked into Joe's computer and stole all of his email contacts. Subsequently, she has been soliciting money via Facebook for funeral expenses that I've already paid. The detectives are working on this as well, and it looks promising that she will be arrested on suspicion of fraud. For now, equal justice, folks. If I may ask, would you mind informing those in your huddle of this update, especially about the fraud issues? Coach, I believe there's much more to this story, even beyond what I've learned, but I'll keep those suspicions to myself until they can be proved. If anyone is interested, I'm strategically leaking certain information out via his Facebook page and his Twitter account. Both are there. Thanks, Doug. Amazing, huh? Jared, click on his Facebook page there. See if there's, I don't know. So there, folks, he's telling all of you, keep updated on what's going on his Facebook page. Doug has stepped away for 3 days. You can understand why. Grief of his son. Independence Day freedom, Doug says. Will you be free? Or might that be the day that you lose your freedom? Yes, I'm looking at you. Practical homicide investigation. So Doug's, we're not going to scroll all the way down through his page, but there it is, Doug Hagman. Make, you know, you can friend that, do whatever you want to do. The information is amazing. So it appears his son was killed. Well, negligent homicide. That whatever happened. Our thoughts go out to, I hate it when people say our thoughts and prayers. I think about Doug almost constantly. And I'm praying for Doug. And the grief of a... Here. Huh. Wow. Look at this, folks. On the screen right now, Doug found Joe's TV at a pawn shop. Is that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Guy's been dead 2 days. He's got to scroll on down, Jared. See what else. Again, folks, Doug asked us to keep in touch here. He's got all the information you want. Here's a picture of the scam that's being passed. She stole Joe's email contacts and is scamming him to try to get money. How dark can people be? Unbelievable.
You know, I heard them say this, and I couldn't believe it. I really can't believe this. This is evil.
How wicked the world is. What a dark, dark tunnel that you can run down. And even ask yourself this. God bless Joe. How could he get wrapped up with a woman like this? I know what Chad would say. So anyway, I'd give the whole time to Doug. It doesn't really do us much good. But I want all of you to know that, and maybe all of you share this page, share Doug's page with everybody on your Facebook page. The word can get out that, you know what it is. Praise the Lord. All right, let me switch gears. Any comments on that from anybody? I can't imagine.
Well, Doug, Dave, to me, the whole thing, it stunk a foul play from the first moment I heard it. It just stunk. The whole thing stunk. And it was something's not right on this. You know, how she, this mystery woman comes in there, has all this access to him, lures him away, gets him going on this stuff again, and then kills him, basically, and then sells all his stuff off just for money, you know? And something's not right.
Something's not right, brother.
If this goes Doug's way, that's about 15 to 20 years right there.
Yeah. Well, he's tenacious in defense of his son. You know, family love's an amazing thing, isn't it? And I'm thinking right now of, I can't say who it is, doesn't matter. You know, there's a really, 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 really deep father wound in many guys. Really deep father wound. The impact of a father in a guy's life, the absence of a father in a guy's life. And even in the best of circumstances, a guy like Doug Hagman, you lose your son to these forces of darkness. What? Having tried to have done everything right, was he a perfect dad? Probably not. None of us are. People talked about his tough love with his son. Well, we know here, we talk about that on this show all the time. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And in his love for his son, he had to expose some things. I've been there, done that one. And when Doug stands on the other side, the Lord knows that Doug did what he thought was best. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, people saying, well, you know, if he hadn't thrown his son off the air and all this stuff, he hadn't listen, we don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. I know some things you don't know. And there, but for the grace of God, go I. And I run into it more and more and more and more. I used to run into it a lot when I was coaching the father wound, trying to get a kid to quit sucking on his thumb so much. Everything we do, it's about us, right? Me, 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 me. We reach the point where the weak and the wounded won't even let you strengthen them. They're so withdrawn into a shell. They have so many defense mechanisms thrown up. You know what their greatest weapon is? They think it is. It's their worst one. Anger. They think men get angry. They think you're a man when you're angry. You yell and you scream and you MF this and MF that. They think that's manly. You try to take young guys like that and teach them the power and control of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit. I just feel for it.
Let's look at the wackos over there in Oregon with Antifa.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's the lack of parenting or women. I'm sorry. Well, at what point are we going to get serious about our public schools? At what point? How long is it going to take for us to look out on the horizon and see the fruit of our public schools and our government, university, deep state, and understand that those of through infiltration, they're destroying everything righteous in this nation. You know, I got up this morning as I was doing my show. I always listen, always turn on Mike Heath. Mike's becoming one of my heroes again. He's coming back from the dead. He was still born there for a while, I thought. But Mike's coming back, and I was listening to his program today and wondering, asking myself this, how can those of us who carry the name of Christ, that'd be you and me, who are, he's the Prince of Peace. How can we know that there is and cannot be any peace in this world outside of Jesus Christ and not stand up and fight for Jesus Christ and for peace? We look around and we see all of these schemes and plans and trials and techniques that the left has used, psychology and psychiatry and drugs and everything, to try to control human behavior when we know that there is no peace outside the Prince of Peace. We know that. We know that. And yet we don't speak up for the Lord. We don't fight for the Lord. We don't try to push our Christian principles. We allow them to shove leftist principles down our throats. I don't know, man. I don't know. What's it going to take? When are we going to wake up and understand and realize that Western civilization, as we know it, is right now under attack? What is it going to take? How the hell can you be a Christian pastor today in America's world and ignore the cultural issues? How can you be a man of God, a believer in Jesus Christ, ordained under and called under God, and not stand up and speak the truth? How could you be so wrapped up in this love gospel to see everything that Jesus preached to be destroyed and not stand up and push back against it? It baffles me.
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
You know, I walked by a church yesterday and had a bunch of rainbow flags adorning its gate, and it made me do a double take at the very end. I said, why are there rainbow flags all over this church? I think the next time I see that, I'm going to walk in, I'm going to say something. I promise you that.
Well, we need to do that. We need to do it. We need to become more vocal. That's why we're going to go on the Equal Justice Tour, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to throw this at you. Listen to me. You know this. You know this well. I don't ask for money, but we need some funds. We need some funds. And that's all I'm going to say about it. You guys can go, if you're doing it on Patreon, we're not getting the money. But you can go to our website. You can go to Equal Justice Tour and donate right there. $20 here, $50 here is going to make a big difference. We have got us a great plan, and I cannot unveil the plan until it's executed, okay? Just trust me. We got some great things going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And some of you want to be a part of it and can't be a part of it. I understand that. But as Mark Trump would say, some can give. And I'm just appealing to you. We need some funds to do this. We're not going broke. But we need some funds. I'm helping several people get here. and you can help by helping me. I want to show you. I got Jared, pull up the thing from Judicial Watch. Hey, wait a minute. Hang on, Jared. Yeah, pull. No, Jared, go to Nike. Have you guys followed this Nike thing? Colin Kaepernick, Pumpernickel, whatever his name is. About follow what's going on there. Pull that up there real quick, Jared. I don't want to give this scumbag any time. When are on the 4th of July, Nike pulls a Betsy Ross flag shoe after Colin Kaepernick complains about. There's this shoe. I'm going to show you some good news here. There's the shoe. They put the old Betsy Ross flag on the back of the shoe. Colin Kaepernick didn't like it. He's become one of their spokesmen. Can you believe that? Can you believe that anti-American bigot has become a spokesman for Nike? I spit on Nike. I spit on Nike! And then, watch this, scrolling down. The governor of Arizona, thank God for the governor of Arizona. The governor of Arizona told Nike, take your freaking business and go someplace else with it. We're going to pull your tax breaks, tax incentives. We're going to pull them all. Take it and go someplace else. God bless Arizona Governor Doug Ducey. Doug Ducey announced he had ordered the Arizona Commerce Authority, a public-private economic development agency, to withdraw the incentives the state offered Nike to build a plant in Goodyear, Arizona. Today was supposed to be a good day in Arizona, the governor said, with the announcement of a major Nike investment in Goodyear. Ducey wrote, words cannot express my disappointment. Nike has made its decision, and now we are making ours. Arizona's economy is doing just fine without Nike, Ducey said, adding that he won't suck up to the company just to get him to come to town.
Amen.
He says it's a good thing Nike only wants to sell sneakers to people who hate the American flag. We got to stand up and push back against this crap.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Kaepernick still lives in America, doesn't he?
He does.
You know, it's funny how these people have such a, in some ways I can understand because I have a lot of questions about our nation and where it's going and what's going on and all that. But you live here and you make a lot of money. All these communists, all these socialists, they love socialism when they're in a capitalistic society.
Right.
You know, it's real easy to be a socialist when you live in a capitalistic society, by the way. And most of those people that are running around talking about that are a bunch of millionaires anyway. Right. So, but well, it's just ironic. Really is.
It's important I pull something up here, Paul. I appreciate it. Jared, pull up the First Amendment Constitution. I'm going to show you. I'm going to try to make a real quick comparison here. I got 12 things I want to talk about right now, maybe 13. I want you to see something that I know most of you have never seen before. I'm just going to take a minute. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to give all of you looking at your screen right now to look at the First Amendment of the Constitution and find out how many periods there are. Okay? Look at it. I'm going to read it, and you guys mark down the number of periods. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. How many periods are there?
Those, I didn't hear a single period, not one.
Yes, you did, Vinny. You heard one. There's a period at the end of the sentence.
Yes.
Otherwise, each one of those statements are interlocking. You cannot, they all interlocking. You cannot remove religion without abridging the freedom of speech or without exercise. You cannot remove religion and still have freedom of the press. You cannot remove religion and have the right of the people to peacefully assemble. You cannot remove religion and have the ability to petition the government for a redress of grievances. These are all interrelated. And I'm praying for some lawyers to wake up out there and understand that they are killing us with the Establishment Clause, which is nothing more than a clause. It's not even a law. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. How about this one? Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. I don't want to pay my tax dollars for mud packers. I don't want to pay it. I don't want to pay my tax dollars to kill babies. It's a violation of the free exercise of my faith. Wake up, attorneys. Wake up.
Amen, brother. Enough.
Let them haul me in court and tell me that I got to pay this. I say, no, I don't. It violates the free exercise of my faith. You know what they're doing? Jared, pull up Acts 4. He said, Coach, you sound militant. You're damn right I'm militant.
Dang Pud Packers.
Acts 4. Start go down. Okay, this is just this whole thing. I'm sorry. And they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. These guys are mad. They're talking about Jesus. And they laid hands on him, and they put them into the next day. They put him in jail when they laid hands on him. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. Wow, that's unusual. And the number of men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest, they got together in Jerusalem, conspiring, I might say, conspiring. When they had set them in the midst, they brought these two guys in there in the midst. They said, "What? Hey, by what power, by what? Why are you doing this? Why are you using that Jesus name? Will you stop using that Jesus name?" Hey, are they saying that to you today? Are they saying that in America today? Kaepernick can do whatever the hell he wants to, but you can't mention the name of Jesus? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, I might add, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Only Jesus could make him whole, and he did it. And this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other man, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Hey, boys and girls, hey, Christians out there, you want salvation? You want men saved? I hear it all the time. We got to get men saved. Well, there's no other name under heaven where it's going to happen except the name of Jesus. And you're not allowed to mention it publicly. Wake the hell up! And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I bet. By the way, they didn't see the love of Peter and John. They didn't see the open heart and a giving attitude of Peter and John. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. How about that? They looked at those two. They looked at Craig Abkmeyer and they looked at Chad Estes. They said, these guys don't know anything. How can they be doing this? They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Some of you need to get with Jesus. Need to spend a little bit of time with him. And beholding the man which was healed standing by them. Can you see that? Wow, what a picture. They couldn't say anything. They saw the evidence of Christ standing there and they could not say anything. But when they had commanded them to go outside, out of the council, then they conspired against them. You ever notice that the left never conspires? You ever notice that? It's only the right that has conspiracy theories. Left never does. They never conspire. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, then they conspired. They got together and talked and said, "Boys, what the hell are we going to do with these guys? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them. It's obvious to everybody that dwells in Jerusalem, we can't deny it. What are we going to do? How are we going to spin this? What kind of fake news are we going to come up with here?" But it's important that it spread no further among the people. Facebook jail. let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in this name. Welcome to 2019 America. And they called them. Hey, Pete, come back in here. John, get back in here. Okay, boys, here it is, verse 18. No more speaking nor teaching in the name of Jesus. No, we're not going to have any more of that. You got that, boys? We're going to get it out of our schools. We're going to get it out of all public government. In fact, we're going to do our best to get it out of the churches, too. We're going to do best to get it out. You guys got that? But Pete and John said unto them, oh, yeah? Whether it be right in the sight of God to listen unto you more than unto God, you go ahead and be the judge of that. Because boys and girls, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we've heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. Oh, the people came. They had supporters show. Which was done. This miracle of healing showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they had heard that, they lifted up the voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and sea, and all that is in them is. By the mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Nothing new under the sun, my friends. Nothing new under the sun. For truth against this holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand that counsel determined before them to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Yep, don't you preach anymore. And grant unto us, your servants, that with all boldness, we're going to go speak your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Now, we just saw that Paul and John were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they go in there and they speak the word. And what happens? Everyone's assembled together. We're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he was possessed was his own. They had all things in common. Some of you guys are hanging on to some stuff you need to let go of. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands, of houses, sold them, bought the pieces of things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according to his need. And Joseph, who by the apostle was a surnamed Barnabas, a Levite in one of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. See, when the Lord gets a hold of you, things let go. We'll say it again. When the Lord gets a hold of you, possessions let go. And, I have another book of Acts. Well, Jared, let's do it real quickly, just so you don't think I'm lying. Acts 5, Jared. Acts 5. Something's happening here. Go to verse 4. I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Hey, Coach.
Verse 40. 40. Yes. Yes.
Notice that's the book of Acts. The book of actions. The book of action. If we're not in action now as the church, we're not we can't identify with what Jesus is doing, Coach. If we're not in action, we're not part of it. It's that simple. No,
it's a book of Acts. It's not the book of watches. The book of sits. Jared, go up to about 35 minutes. I'm trying to see what I can find. Then stood up in the council a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said to them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that you intend to do what you're going to do to these boys. You better be careful what you do to these boys. For before these days rose up, Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. He was slain and all, and as many as obeyed him were scattered, and it came to nothing. And then they rose up this man Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and they drew away much people away from him, and he also perished. And even as many as obeyed him, we can't even find where they are. They ran like a bunch of scared rabbits. And now I'm saying to you, don't stop these men. Do not stop these men. And leave them alone. For if this council, if what they're doing is works be of men, it's going to come to nothing. Chappaqua. If it's just something Coach dreamed up, it ain't going to amount to nothing. But if it be a god, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. To him they agreed, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, how about that? They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let him go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Look at this. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not. What a bunch of women we are. Womenly men. Somebody come in, let me catch my breath.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
That Kaepernick, he's a Muslim. And that's the bottom line. And he's too much of a jellyfish to even tell that story.
That's right. We bow to him.
Back in the book of Acts also, and we've taught on this, and this is why I love the huddle. I've learned so much. But in the early part of Acts 4 there, they were uneducated, ordinary men.
Amen.
Uneducated, ordinary men. Men like you and I. Nothing special about us. Raised a holy hell.
Amen, brother. That's it. If we don't do it, who's going to, right? Who's going to do it? And if we believe in the power of Jesus Christ, what is wrong with us? See, we look at the book of Acts like fairy tales. Right? Hey, Jared, go to Hebrews 11.
Dave.
Well, Dave, not just that. I think we look at the book of Acts and maybe some other things in the Bible as just histories. Just that's the way they used to do it. That's the way they did it back then. But they're not doing it that way now. I don't know what the reasoning for that is.
Well, Coach, it's cognitive dissonance. We're told to listen to certain parts and not to pay attention to other parts. The things we're told not to pay attention to are the things we most need to pay attention to. They're the most important parts. We can't leave those parts out.
Yeah, it's called humanism.
It's called, we're told not to love ourselves too much. Whoever came in by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, they love not their own lives, even to the point of death. Jared, scroll down to about 20 here in Hebrews 11. Let's see. It's all about faith and all these guys who paid their prices. We've read this before, but it's appropriate to read it again. Going a little bit farther. It talks about Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all the stars that we know happened to them. We know about all those stars and all they did. Keep going. What they did through faith and Jericho and Rahab the harlot. Okay, 32. What more shall I say? For time failed to tell them. Hey, guys, these are not fairy tales. These are not something out of Disney. Time failed to tell me of the Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, David, Samuel, and other prophets. Huh? Hey, folks, prophets. Remember we spoke about that the other day? Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Who did? Well, Barak and Gideon and Samson. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. Where's this Christianity today? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. What a pathetic song. Now, it's something you sing to children, I understand, but what a pathetic, pathetic, pathetic song. They quench the violence of fire. They escape the edge of the sword. Out of this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's the problem. It's a freaking little light. You ain't a little light. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're a spotlight. You're a beam of light. This little light of mine. Quench the fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong, wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Oh, we could do some research there. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They wouldn't give in because they wanted to obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings. You ever been hit with a whip? Well, yeah, but they defriended me on Facebook. Some had bonds of imprisonment. Some were stoned, sewn in half, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, I guess. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves. You understand they're running for their lives? And these all these people that we just talked about, they attained a good report through faith. But they haven't received the promise yet. Why? Because God, having provided some better thing for us, they're waiting on us to do our job. That they without us, they, without us doing our job, can't bring this whole thing to an end. That's some powerful scripture right there, boys. Somebody come in.
Hey, Coach, read 1 John 2:27, Coach.
I knew you'd do something to me like that. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Amen. That's the truth. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is not a lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, he wasn't speaking to little children, by the way. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Wow.
Being filled with the Holy Ghost is the key, Coach.
Amen. People ignore it. We got people in the church ignoring it. Ignoring it.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Last night, our church in the garage that we had there at the car lot, Pastor Bill was on the topic of the 21st century Christian church today does not have an edge on their sword. They don't pull out the whetstone and put the edge on that sword. So it's worthless.
Amen. I agree. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we try to do here every day, man. Sharpen your sword. Iron sharpens iron. Okay, I'm going to shift gears on you, okay? I'm going to open your eyes up to something. I'm going to do this really, really quickly, but I told you that when I started, I got about four different directions I wanted to go. Jared, go to Proverbs 8:36. Proverbs 8:36. You shall know them by their fruit. 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. When you sin against the Lord, you're doing it to yourself, man. Look at this. All they that hate me love death. You want a measuring stone? You want a measuring stone in the culture? There you be, boys. There you be. Homosexuality? That's death, man. That's death. I bet you if we ever really knew right now today, if we ever knew the statistics on the number of people who have died from the scourge of sodomy, we would not be able to even conceive it. You guys ever think about that? And then we look at our public schools, and what is our public schools promoting? Abstinence? No, sodomy. Sodomy. Are there Christmas carols and Christmas things flying in our schools? No. We got gay pride flags flying. We got gay pride flags. A homosexual sodomite lifestyle, which will kill you and kill others, is celebrated. They paint the sidewalks with it. They put flags up. They take down the POW flag and they put it up in there. You go to every corporation, they're promoting sodomy. What is going on? What's simple? They hate the Lord.
Coach, think a Surgeon General is going to put a warning on sodomy?
He'll put a warning on the penis, shouldn't he? Put a warning on the penis, a warning on the anus. How to do it. I'm just telling you the truth. The number of lives destroyed by homosexuality, we can't even. Hey, Mike Heath, there's no peace without Jesus. There is no peace without, there's no morality without Jesus. There's no morality without freedom of religion. There's none. There is none. And we bought into this lie, the separation between the church and state, and I'm okay and you're okay. Tune in, turn on, drop out. If it feels good, do it. And because of that, we have a generation. Look around. We have a generation coming up now that are being raised with no restraint. Is that healthy for the rest of us? Of course not. So there's an identifying thing. If you run into somebody who tells you that they are pro-abortion, you know this right there. They hate the Lord. They hate the Lord. Now, they may not be aware that they do, but they are anti-Christ. Anyone that would want to kill a baby is anti-Christ. Wait a minute. Kyle, you ready? Anyone who would promote or celebrate anal sodomy between two men loves death. That's the end. There is no life, boys and girls, zero life in the homosexual relationship. There's no life. But the Bible says to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't miss this. Works of darkness are always unfruitful. They're always unfruitful. You won't find any life in anything that comes from the devil. The devil never brings life. So we are at a crossroads. We're far beyond a crossroads in Western civilization. Are we going to become a culture? Can you believe this? They talk about a culture of life. What is the opposite of a culture of life? See, it's just words that we throw out there. Well, I'm pro-life. What is that? What the hell does that mean? You're pro-life and you're for butt sex? You're pro-life? I mean, you're for transgender reading in bathrooms and libraries? I hear somebody calling in.
Yeah, it's like calling abortion health care. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Everyone I've said it to has shaken their heads and go, yeah, that's right. Abortion is not health care. Abortion is infanticide. That's all it is.
I've got a great teaching. I'm just diving into it. I'm not going to do it now. I look down. I got 11 minutes. I'm not going to hurry this. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I want you to tune in tomorrow because tomorrow we're going to talk about the spiritual war that's going on around us. Joe Hagman is dead today because of demonic spirits. That's why he's dead today. And the church won't even talk about it. Church doesn't have any idea how to deal with it. The church has no understanding of the structure of the enemy. The word tells us to brain went dead. not to be ignorant of his devices. We don't have any idea of the devil's devices. We don't have any idea of it. And as long as the devil, you can keep the devil from stealing your money and stealing your health and everything's okay. When we've lost sight of the fact that this is a worldwide cosmological war. You think it's about little old you. And it is. Because he said he'd be with you. He'd never leave you. I'm going to go to Chappaqua. And I'm going to tell you this. I hope the damn devil's pissed. I hope he is. Because I want to try to bring down some kingdoms. As we read in the book of Acts, if this be of God, they ain't going to stop it, boys. If this be of God, they ain't going to stop it. We'll find out soon. Saying that, I wanted to make sure you saw this because I know you didn't. Jared, click on the second thing down, Judicial Watch. I'm going to do this teaching tomorrow on principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. Hey, Jared, what's the date on this thing? Why, July 2nd. I'll be done. When? Why, like yesterday. Judicial Watch, former state official testifies. He warned the State Department officials about Clinton email issues. Judicial Watch is doing unbelievable work. Judicial Watch is doing what the government should be doing. And so we scroll down. I don't have time to take all this, read this now. This all stacks up to Hillary. Don't think it doesn't. They go down there and we find out, what, here, Hackett. Let me read this here, okay? Under oath. Who's Hackett? He's a big wig in the Department of State. Hackett. So Hackett answered during the deposition that he recalled a conversation that he had when he was at the State Department about requesting rules or parameters from Secretary Hillary Clinton or attorneys they used to segregate her personal and official. They knew she was doing this, and they thought, we got to get her to stop doing this. She can't do this. This violates the law. So they asked Hackett. He says, I recall it wasn't much of a conversation. I have to say, it was emphatic to the Undersecretary of Management. And I didn't speak in tones like that very often. You know that we needed these. You know, we can't be doing this, man. We can't be doing this. That's probably what he's saying. We can't be doing this. This violates the law. And when you said the Undersecretary, are you referring to Patrick Kennedy, the Undersecretary of State for Management? Yes. I think I might have raised it with Rich Vizek, the Acting Officer of Legal Advisor, or Peggy, or some others at the State Department. Why did you feel so strongly that this was necessary, that they provide this information? Well, we heard that there were 50 or 60,000 emails that they had. They being the state, the secretary's team, Hillary's freaking team. They pulled out 30,000 of these, and which is, so we wanted to know what the criteria they use. The standard for the National Archives is very strict. If there were mixed records that would be considered for a federal record, if it was mixed personal and mentioned a discussion that would be under the narrow National Archives rule, it would be considered a federal record. And you know, if these emails that were turned by Secretary Clinton or attorneys, if they followed the guidelines, I don't know. Was a request ever made by Patrick Kennedy or anybody else to find out? Well, Ambassador King told me that he would ask for the guidelines. You know if the guidelines were ever provided to Kennedy? Not during my tenure at the State Department. 15 Old House Lane is where this crime took place, boys. I'm not going to read all this to you. I suggest Judicial Watch is all over it. We're gone there. Go to equaljusticetour.com. Come and join us. It's not too late. Come and join us. Send me some money. Would you do not me? Send us some money. Send us some money if you can't go. We have guys who are coming, and I would like to pay their gas for them. We've rented some cars again. Can't some of you help fund the war? Help fund the war? I don't want to quit. See, there he goes talking about money again. Well, how are you supposed to do it? How are we supposed to win this war? All right, hang on. Got a 5-minute video. I'm going to share this with you. Jared, truth wins. We got to remember that. The battle for truth. The battle for truth. Truth wins. Why does Jesus win in the end? Because he's truth. Go ahead and let this roll, Jaron. God will send upon them a deluding influence. Here we go.
It's speaking in verse 3 of the apostasia in Greek, the falling away that will come with the manifestation of the Antichrist. But look what it says in verse 11. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe in the truth, believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. The truth is the word of God. Jesus is the truth, and he's the word, the logos. If somebody doesn't love the truth of Scripture, they don't love Jesus Christ. They can say all they want, have all the hallelujahs they want. If they don't love the truth of the Word of God, they don't love the Word of God, who is Jesus, the incarnate Logos. If you don't love the Bible, you don't love Jesus Christ as far as God's concerned. That's it. If you love me, keep me. If you don't love him, if you don't love his Word. And if people don't love the truth, they don't love Jesus. The way, the truth, the life. Don't love the truth, they don't love Jesus. And if they don't love him, tell us why. It's because in some way they are taking pleasure in wickedness. You find so-called Christians who don't love the truth, it's because they're taking pleasure in wickedness. Therefore, the Lord will send upon them a deluding influence that they may believe what is false. How will the Antichrist con people? He's the ultimate judgment. God gives them over to it. If people can't see through an obvious false prophet and false teacher like Benny Hinn, if you can't see through Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland, what is going to happen when this stuff comes down? What will happen when Therefore, the Lord will send a deluding influence. In the book of Zechariah, typologically, the Antichrist is called the angel of God, agent of God. It's a frightening prospect. It is a judgment. Several years ago, I was frantically trying to stop, in England where I live, the explosion of things like the Laughing and Drunken Revival from Toronto and Pensacola. I was trying to stop it, but the Lord said, no, don't. You're not going to stop this. You can only warn the elect. You can rescue those who are honestly deceived, but you can't stop it. Why? What you see today with the money preachers, the faith prosperity heretics, what you see with Toronto, what you see with the ecumenical movement, these things are not simply deceptions of Satan. They are judgments from God on a backslidden church. It is God's judgment on Laodicea. The Lord will send a delusion that they may believe what is false. Remember, Laodicea is blind. Its first problem is it doesn't know it's Laodicea. The Lord will send a delusion. Judgment begins in the house of God. It'll not begin on Freemasons. It'll not begin on false religions. It'll not begin on corrupt businessmen on Wall Street or corrupt politicians in Washington. It begins in the house of God. Judgment will come on the church before it comes on this nation. And it's coming on this nation.
Freeze this, Jerry. Comparison between the biblical Jesus and the modern Jesus. Biblical Jesus, born as God Almighty in the flesh. Today we say he was a good teacher and man. Loves us enough to speak the truth. Today he waters down the word to avoid offense. The old Jesus points us towards eternal treasure. Here he promises earthly treasures. The old Jesus warns us of judgment. Today he sends everybody to heaven and dismisses hell. He commands repentance in the old one. Today he minimizes your needs for repentance of sins. He gives you salvation, hope, peace, and joy. Today we says he gives you health, wealth, happiness. He hated and was despised by the world. Today it's loved and accepted by the world. He hated sin and exposed the truth about sin. And today he overlooks sin and never corrects you. commands with divine authority. Today he gives suggestions on your best life. He says to expect persecution in his name. Today we promise our best life now. Biblical Jesus brings this vision when necessary. Today we promote unity and tolerance at all costs. The old Jesus exalts God the Father's will. Today you serve your will above God's will. The old Jesus warns of false signs and wonders and magnifies God's word. The new one exalts signs, wonders, and mysticism above God's word. The old Jesus demands that emotion, experience, and opinion conform to sound teaching. Today exalts emotion, experience, and opinion above sound teaching. The old Jesus commands you to obey yourself and be willing to lay down your life for God. The new one encourages you to love yourself first and gratify all of your fleshly desires. I'm going to go to Chappaqua. We will tear that kingdom down. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.